in comparison to the products that are manufactured in the same, similar or the same products in the United States. But I don't understand it, and it's not presented in a clear fashion so that I feel confident in being able to tell it to anybody else. You know, if it's in the most items in the platform, you know, we read it and we know basically it makes sense. And there's been other discussion about it in either in intellectual magazines or books or within left-leaning people. But this is not that kind of subject. And therefore, it has, I mean, just as we did with trying to popularize the NEED Act and the three items we're calling for, you know, we went over that over and over and over, and we constantly are searching for the most acceptable language that people have with, that they know at the top of their head, and that somehow helping them to move to new ideas. But I don't think what I heard just now does that. Over.
Rita Stack.
Go ahead.
I agree with Eugene. I mean, this is why I said that we needed a better introduction for this, something to, that will help an average person on the street understand what we're even talking about.
Sue Stack.
I mean, you know, there's not even an explanation of what we mean by a par economy.
Go ahead, Sue.
I totally hear all your words. I understand it. It reminds me of how I felt when I first found out that banks create money and had no idea what the bazooka was going on here. And it took me years to figure out the language that was coming out of the AMI and, you know. So,
Let me just say this. You know, when we submitted the platform amendments 2 years ago, we spent a lot of time nailing down the language that we wanted in there. And all of the platform amendments that we proposed were passed by a good margin. And we were even given compliments by some of the people on the National Committee for having explained it in terms that they could understand.
Well, which platform planks were you talking about?
The ones that we did 2 years ago that all passed. I think we had four or five of them.
Right. But remember, we already had planks for monetary reform since 2010 in the platform.
Well, yeah, but that may be so, but, you know, the people who are on the National Committee rotate all the time. And, you know, and unless they had some interest in it, they wouldn't even probably bother to read it.
No, I totally hear, I totally understand what you and Eugene are saying. So I'll communicate that to Randy, so when he comes next week, maybe he'll come with a more fleshed out, understandable introduction.
And he can't put that in writing?
No, I'll ask him to put it in writing. I mean, the goal here is for you guys to understand it and feel comfortable with it. That's the goal.
Well, the goal is also for somebody to write it so that we can put it in the platform amendment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm totally hearing you, Rita.
Okay. And I think that was basically what I had asked for. But, you know, so, and you were telling me people were going to contact me. Nobody has contacted me.
Joe is, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Does that take care of it for tonight on this, or should we
Yeah, we can't do anything. We can't do anything further tonight.
Yeah. So can Randy come next week, and can he have from 30 to 45 minutes with you guys?
Okay, that's like a little motion. Sue moves to invite Randy for a big half hour, maybe three quarters of an hour. Does anyone want to say anything about
that? If that's our only option, yes.
What do you mean, only option?
Well, you know, I figured they'd put something in writing that we could use, and I mean, you know, none of us are experts on parity economy or par economy, or we don't, you know, I still don't really understand how it works at all, and we just need for people to understand what it is that we're presenting, and if our committee is presenting that amendment, we are going to have to defend it when it comes up for discussion with the National Committee.
I wonder if Randy's visit would be more helpful after we've read some proposed language. Then we'll have more concrete questions for him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's not able to do that. I don't know.
It might make more sense for him to visit, answer questions, get a sense of where people's heads are going with it, and then come back with a fleshed out intro for the National Committee.
Eugene,
Steve and Eugene. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I see this is going to be a process. I don't think we need to restrict ourselves to one pathway or another. It would be nice if Randy wrote something up, if he could, beforehand, but at the same time, we could love to hear from him in person and talk to him, and maybe after that he will edit what he wrote or something. All of the above, I guess, is what I'm saying.
So you're fine with inviting him for next week?
Yeah, and encouraging him to write something both before and after.
Okay. Eugene, are you on the staff?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I would like to see something in writing before the next meeting, and whether it's what Sue read just now, because I wasn't able to fully digest it, as well as any supplementary material that Randy or someone else writes, that we could receive that, you know, at least one day before the next meeting, so that we can digest it and then use that as the basis for questions and listening to what he has to say. Over.
Very good. But so that's a recommendation, but not like a requirement. You would still welcome him next week, Eugene, just to be clear?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
This is all sounding like a big yes, Sue. So.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I said it's fine
to invite him.
Yes. Okay, good.
Okay.
Very good.
I hope Howard's back next week. You know, his last comment about this parity thing was that he wasn't sure that we should propose that amendment. So, you know, it's still...
Who was that, Rita?
Howard said that.
Oh. Well, he thinks he's going to have a modem again by tomorrow.
Oh, that's good. Maybe he'll be here next week.
Oh, he doesn't have a computer?
His modem blew up. Electricity, what do you call it? Lightning. Lightning got him.
Oh, wow.
Lightning strikes again. So, now, is it time to turn the page?
Yes.
Can we talk about, did everybody get to read Steve's? He wrote a little paragraph that he's starting to make to report from our committee to the steering committee, like our annual report. And he's picking items off of Sue's excellent record of minutes. But he said, don't we have other ideas of things we'd like to include in the annual report? This would be a time to tell him.
I know it's just an introduction, but what he should do is go through the minutes and grab things out of the minutes to remind him of what we did. For instance, you know, our committee gave a presentation to the Green Party of Michigan at one time.
Oh yeah, that's right, Green Party Michigan.
Yes, okay, and you also gave a presentation for the annual national meeting and such, so.
And for GPACs.
No.
No?
We
the
haven't
one
given,
about Iran, relating money to Iran?
We haven't given a presentation to GPACs that I know of.
Oh, I thought Howard visited there one time to talk about money and the war in Iran.
No, he's visited a couple times to sing a song for us.
Oh, does that count?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't do that as an official BMRC activity.
I'm going to throw it in.
The folks in GPAC seem to enjoy that. So.
Very good.
Steve Stack.
That's good, Rita. You remembered a few things right off the top of your head. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, yes. So I'm just saying, I'm going to go through those minutes, but if anybody has any ideas, just throw them in. It would be nice, perhaps, if you know the date. But otherwise, I guess I'm just going to list a bunch of stuff. We'll see.
Yeah, well, that's all you need to do. You know, just skim through the meetings and pick the stuff out. I mean, I've written that for the report for GPACs before, and that's what I did. I just went through the minutes and picked out a list of things that we had done and put them in the report.
Eugene Stack.
Okay, Sue, then Eugene. We're going to get cut off pretty soon. I already sent the email with the new link for the next Zoom meeting. Go ahead, Sue.
Oh, we have 2 minutes left. 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Okay, go ahead, Sue, then Eugene.
So, Steve, I didn't get a chance to look at what you sent out. Is that your first attempt? Is that it?
It's just an introductory paragraph that says we've been meeting. Usually what we talk about is what we're going to put in the newsletter, and we sometimes talk about what's in the news. At the end, I said, the latest thing we're looking to do is write press releases, and we're looking forward to a fluid working relationship with the media committee. That was the latest thing I threw in.
Okay, so and then people will send in suggestions.
It's just an introduction. I didn't list stuff. You know, it's just a general description of what we do.
Oh, okay. But you will
I did say
be, you
we,
will...
we presented to other groups at the annual meetings. You know, I listed the general things we do.
But you will be listing certain things, is that it?
I'm hopefully.
Oh, okay. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing this.
I haven't done it yet.
No, but you're willing.
Yeah, okay.
Taking the initiative, many thanks.
You're welcome.
So, Eugene.
It may run over, that is, they may not cut you out at exactly a half hour. But did Howard make a presentation to a group in Wisconsin about BMRC within the last year, Mary?
Yes.
He was scheduled, but the COVID got in the way. And he is rescheduled now for next March.
Okay.
But March 2020 got sacked. Well, yeah, I can't remember now if we did something online or nothing at all. Howard Butt will have to remember about that. Thanks for the reminder, Eugene.
Steve Stack.
Go ahead.
Mary, you've done several presentations in the last year. I don't know if you did them in the name of the BMRC, but I would think they would count.
Oh, well, I haven't done anything in the name of the BMRC where I publicize it. I haven't. We should maybe need to have a conversation about that, but I'm more...
Okay, second Zoom.
We don't want to waste a lot of time, right? Well, you guys are all adept.
Just so my computer doesn't shut down again.
Always a possibility. Yeah. So, Rita, has your son been in the hospital very long?
Yeah, since Sunday.
Oh dear. Are you stressing extra more, or is it almost, are you handling it okay?
I'm handling it okay.
Yeah. All right, so I guess Eugene's got to take another minute. So what I thought we should maybe talk about someday, when I do presentations, I promote the AFJM, not the BMRC, because I still do not feel confident about the Green Party overall, and I'm afraid people will be thrown off of monetary reform if I ask them to go into Green Party stuff. Oh. Now, that's not a nice thing for me to say, being the co-chair of this committee, but hey, we only live once. I got to be honest with my friends here. Maybe I need a little schooling.
Steve Stack?
Go ahead.
Maybe if you could explain that a little bit further. I mean, I can understand in one sense that by presenting as the Green Party, it may be hard for people to accept, if for whatever reason, because of spoilers and all that.
Right.
If that's what you mean, do you mean something else?
No. What do you said? Spoilers. What's that?
Yeah, you know, we're considered spoilers. We caused the Republicans to win because that whole thing.
Not so much that. No, just that with my little limited 2 years experience in the Green Party, there's an awful lot of distractions and crap that goes on. And so I am reluctant to point people this way if my big concern is monetary reform. I think the work that we do in the Green Party is critical and very important, and I'm excited about it. But for outsiders, I think it's probably a lot easier for them to say, oh, monetary reform, well, let me look here at the AFJM without so many side distractions.
Can I follow up on that?
Yes, please.
Well, side distractions, I'm not sure I know what you mean. I know inside the party we hear a lot about, you know, factional differences and all that. I don't know how much outside the party hear about any of that.
Well, right, but if I point people to the party to work on monetary reform, they're going to be exposed to all that.
You mean to invite them to work with us, or just to, like, go to our website?
Well, to go to the website, this is probably a good conversation, thank you. People would not be exposed to all that stuff just by going to our website, you're right. So maybe it does go back to what you first suggested, that Democrats, people who are not already in line with Green thinking, maybe would be prejudiced. Yeah,
I understand that really well. I don't know what, you know, and yet you're doing work for our platform, so.
Well, it's work for monetary reform wherever it can be advanced.
Yeah.
So
I'm just getting to how, if I can give you credit for it in my report.
Aha, maybe not. I don't know. Well, after next March, when Howard comes for the Green Party to Wisconsin, there'll be something to give credit for.
Well,
yeah. Well, anyway, so hey, Eugene never got back in. Oh, because he didn't get, we got to forward the message to him personally. He doesn't get the list.
Oh, how come?
He gets the digest. Hang on. I'll send Eugene the message. And who else are we missing? Sarah. You send it to Sarah and I'll send it to Eugene. Please.
Okay.
Ay, ay, ay.
Hopefully.
Forward to Eugene. All right. It took us 5 minutes to remember. So, are there other burning topics for our agenda, or would anybody like to consider with me how we can get published in the Green Pages? I have looked at their website, and they have some pretty specific and very structured suggestions for making submissions, and I think some articles that we have in our newsletter could work, but it would be very nice to have others look at it with me. Can that be on our agenda?
Why not?
Mary, I didn't quite understand. You want to...
The party has a quarterly publication called Green Pages, and we would like to have some of our articles from the newsletter. I'm specifically thinking about your series on the Matrix, because it was so carefully researched and written. But other things that we would like to get into a routine of publishing in that organ.
Okay, so you want to have a discussion today?
Well, I would like you, I've got this ready. I can share the Green Pages website and their criteria for submission and their list of editorial people who make decisions. And I just thought it'd be nice for us to all kind of get on the same page about that.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
All right, then I'll go ahead and share this screen. Does any of you get the Green Pages and read it, or have you in the past?
Is it a hard copy?
No.
Not a hard copy, Rita says. And Steve is on the stack. Go ahead.
Well, at one time it was hard copy. It was actually a newspaper, in newspaper format, that they would hand out, and you could get a pile of them every once in a while and distribute them.
Oh.
But apparently it's now... electronic, but I don't know if it's been functioning in a while. I don't know if there is a current edition or not. Maybe somebody can answer that. I thought it was just being rebooted now.
There was a recent edition.
Uh-huh.
And Howard has published in it before. He published in when it was a hard copy. He published in it.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. So, is this not okay? Yeah. Well, one thing I'd need to draw your attention to is I'm losing track here. Their editorial board. I want to know if anybody here knows some of these people, because it does say, if you know somebody on the editorial board and you want to submit something, submit it to the person you know. And our buddy Garrett Wasserman was on. But there are other people that you may know. Here we go. Daryl Moch, or Moch, Robin Harris, Mike Feinstein, Garrett Wasserman.
These are all Greens?
These are all Greens who serve on the editorial board.
Yeah, I know David McCorkledale.
These are the people who decide what goes into Green Pages or not.
Hmm. Who's from Wisconsin? I can't see it.
David Schwab. David, you say you know David McCorkledale?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Owen Silverman, Cassidy Moriarty, Dave Arthur, David Dunan, as an observer only. Then Jan Martell, she's production editor as well as co-chair. Dave Schwab is co-chair. He is the, he was the chair of our local Green Party. I know him, we meet almost monthly. And then Garrett Wasserman again as the steering committee liaison. So is that going to be helpful for us getting published here, that list of people in any way?
What are their specifications for their articles?
Yes, good. Thank you very much. I'm going to their tab called Submit, and it's giving a little picture of their recent edition. And then it goes into their specs. Just a second, I got a glitch here with a picture on my screen. All right. Here. Green Pages Writers Artist Guidelines. Introduction. Thanks for your interest. All volunteer. Second paragraph. The official publication of record. I'll read this. Primary purpose to address the needs of the Green Party, its members, and its organizations on the national, state, local levels. Coverage will focus on news of the Green Party and news affecting Green Parties. Green Pages will share successes of the party and information to make the party stronger. Secondarily, Green Pages will provide a credible information vehicle for communication and alliance building with media and social academics and social media, social movements. So that sounds like stuff that we could bring to them, right? Third paragraph. Green Pages always looking for new writers. Go ahead, Sue.
That last paragraph you read, it seemed more like news items rather than explanations of current committees or something.
Well, this is a little bit maybe like what we're trying to do with the Michael guy. More like press releases. We do need to make what we send to them. It needs to have a current.
Okay.
I think. Successes of the party, but it also says address the needs of the Green Party. Green Party needs to understand monetary reform. Well, let's see now. Always looking for new writers and cartoonists. The story lineup of each issue is developed by the editorial board and articles assigned accordingly. If you have a timely story idea, please submit a brief query. We can also assign a topic to you. Well, that's not the idea. Contributors are a diverse lot. They want it short and succinct. Okay. Who wants to say something?
Sue Stack.
Then the purpose, writer's guidelines and the style sheet. Here's where we get to some real specific things that they want. If you've already been in touch with a member of the board, send your contribution to them. Submit as Word documents. Think about how it will appear on the page. Photos, graphics, sharp headlines.
Do they have a word count?
Not that I've seen so far. Go ahead, Sue. Did you want to say something?
I did. I forget what it is now.
So now they've got what's called a style sheet. That impressed me pretty good.
Oh, I know what it is, Sustak.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it sounds like we need a member to step forward and become a liaison between us and them and feed them stuff.
It doesn't say that.
No, I'm saying how it would work with our committee, the easiest way would be for someone to become a liaison and suggest suggest to us, maybe I should send this to the green, blah, blah, blah. And if we say yes, then they could, with their connections they've made, their relationships they've made to people on the editorial board, do just that.
Yeah, so you think it's going to require relationship building?
I think that would
okay, so this goes to details here that we're not ready for, I think. Consistency for when we do get ready to send something, we need to just kind of cross-check it with this list of stuff.
Steve Stack.
Go ahead, Steve.
It mentions op-eds and letters to the editor. It mentioned op-eds no bigger than 800 words and letters to the editor around 350. But I don't know about regular articles. I didn't see that.
Right, I didn't see a word count for regular articles either. I suppose op-eds and letters to the editor are something we might consider, except that that would be more appropriate if we didn't already have a plan.
Yeah, and what's the difference between an op-ed and an article? I mean, I know what, theoretically the difference is, but what would be the difference in an organ like this?
Well, the article will have some research and state some facts and document some things, where an op-ed is my opinion, right?
I guess, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just made that up.
Who's entitled to an op-ed? Anybody?
That's another good. Well, whoever the editorial board favors.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where Dave Schwab, whom, as I say, I see once a month or so. I am not sure where he stands on this. I think he's kind of with the eco-socialist people, and he may or may not have bad attitude about us. He hasn't shown it. He worked hard on Jill's campaign. He worked hard on Lisa's campaign in Maine last year. But because that Garrett Wasserman guy is on here, we have a hurdle. We'd have to convince some other editorial people how valuable our material is so that Garrett couldn't just put the jinx on it.
What is his history with us? What is that?
He's been a member, but he loves MMT.
Oh.
That's not good.
So now we've looked at, is there any other part of this that anybody would want to look at, or is that enough now? That's enough. My next thought was to go through our newsletters, the last two or three, and find something that has a little bit of a timely hook and that has some actual research. Of course, some of the things in our newsletter could work for opinion pieces. And some of them are more like research pieces, like what Sue put in recently, The Matrix. Sue, is there one more installment on that?
There's one more installment on education, and it was going to be, in August, but Howard wanted to get the BMRC out earlier, And I always I have to have enough time to the 25th right. month, and he didn't want to wait, so.
So it's just going to skip one and finish the third one is the last one, and it's going to finish in the next, is that it?
It's not the last one. It's the last one about education.
Oh, there's going to be more?
Oh, yeah. There's one, and the next one is on the medical establishment, because Rockefeller and his foundations, they changed the medical, the whole medical field back in the first 2 decades of the 20th century.
Uh-huh. So thinking about, yeah, if we wanted it in green pages, it should have a timely hook. Well, we've got all this medical stuff going on right now.
Yeah, but I can't rush it. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know. No, I'm not suggesting you rush it. I'm suggesting that when you write it, it can be related to current events.
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, everything in the Money Matrix series is related to the current, because these tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefeller, the Carnegies, and now there's so many more of them, very powerful.
So don't you feel like that kind of, those articles kind of meet the criteria for what we were looking at?
Well, they're very timely, yes.
Yes, yes.
And I just have to say one last thing. I am learning so much from writing and researching this series. It has really changed around my whole, a lot of my perceptions of the world. It's pretty awesome.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. We want to share that with more people. Steve?
Well, yeah, I think it would be good if any of our stuff, Sue's stuff here, could be in the Green Pages as long as they thought it related to the Green Party properly, you know.
Well,
so, as it relates to the Green Party, I don't know.
Well, it supports our plank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't that kind of, doesn't that take care of that?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's up to them. I mean, does Sue's articles directly support our plank? I don't know. You know, they sound very informative, absolutely. But do they directly relate to our plank? I don't know. I mean, and whether the editorial board of the Green Page sees it that way, I don't know. I'm not saying no.
All right. Okay, I get what you're saying. I appreciate it, too. So what we just did tonight is a little exercise in seeing what they want. They want timely and directly related to the plank. Both.
For the Green Party, yeah.
They want timely and directly related to the plank if we are hoping for Green Pages publication. I'm feeling bad about Eugene. I did send him the message, but does anybody have his phone number?
Let me see.
Sarah, you're awful quiet tonight. What's going on in your world?
Who, me?
Yes.
Sorry. No, I'm just listening, and I'm good. Sorry, I've just been very busy, and I'm still trying to finish up my own sort of series of articles that are half written. So I'll try to get on that. I would love to.
Those criteria for the Green Pages that should be timely and should be directly related to advancing green stuff?
I certainly hope so.
Yay!
Hopefully I could publish, I don't know if this is how it goes, but hopefully I guess there's our own newsletter and then there's the Green Pages. So I will leave it up to the committee to decide what goes where. So I hope to write it. Because I think part of my series, the thing that I want to do is trying to get people of all political persuasions to kind of come on board with our agenda, you know, as part of kind of forming a right-left alliance or, you know, whatever, that trying to form a more populist alliance and trying to form a more bottoms-up understanding of money. And so that would be kind of what I would want to do for the pages, or, you know, for the larger Green Pages, and for people to understand the importance of doing that.
Cool.
No.
Cool, thanks. I'm glad I called on you.
I was trying to hide. I was like, darn, why is Mary calling on me? I was trying to listen over here, not cause any controversy like I did last time before our meeting ended, but, you know.
Well, I missed that. Shoot dang, I hate missing controversy.
Yeah, I made a little comment about needing direct democracy, and I get that's not in our constitution, but I mean, one of the things I'd like to talk about in my articles for our newsletter and going, I guess, the future, I mean, it's a whole other ball game, but I just sort of think that direct democracy is something we should consider or talk about. Or even like make changes to our constitution. I mean, I know it's not really quote constitutional and what we have is representational government, but I don't actually see, for me personally, I don't see this really good idea of this committee, like making it out into like a larger like legislative like world without actually changing our political system. And I'm not really sure our form of representational government really works anymore. And I think that the new world would actually have to include more democratizing of everything, the real democracies, and not having representations of it. And not having central, and we have the capacity, we have the technology to actually do direct democracy now. I do feel like if we could get the population on board with these ideas, I feel they would actually, I think it would make sense to them, because it made sense to me. And I used to, and as I said, I used to be a gold bug. So as soon as like I hear this and it makes sense, I'm like, yeah, that actually does make sense. And the facts of history do support this position. So I think the population would support it, but I think that there's a barrier of a political class. So anyway, I'll just shut up after
that. Thank you, Jonah. Jonah's nodding and waving his hand. Yes. It's Jonah's turn to comment.
Okay, I believe that if we're going to advocate direct democracy, we should try it out with the Green Party. just as when we advocate election reform, we should try it out with our own candidate nominations.
Oh,
thank you.
That's amazing. That's an idea.
Well, I get it that we need people to participate far more than they do mostly. Most people are busy watching football and going to work and don't participate in the democracy. Maybe this idea of direct democracy would inspire wider participation.
Yes, and if I may, Sarah Stack, if I may also jump in again.
Go ahead.
Yes, and I think our representational government format, I think, actually contributes to maybe apathy because, you know, we think like, oh, like we elected this supposed very progressive person to the seat, and then like, you know, we put all the energies doing that, and then people can kind of like go to sleep after that and be like, oh, we're okay, they'll take care of it. And that's not really the model that we should work on. That they're not going to take care of it. And as we've seen with many, many so-called progressive candidates, like they really don't like, you know, they don't really represent us. They don't actually do what they promised. Almost every campaign promise is broken. So there's no point in that. And again, to say, I'm going to comment on what Jonah said, that'd be awesome if we could practice direct democracy in the Green Party itself. And as I said, there are technologies now available for us to do that. We could never have direct democracy in 1778 or whenever the whole constitution was written. I'm so bad at history. But anyway, we don't have the capacity then, which is probably why we needed representational government then, but we don't need it now because we actually have blockchain technology. And instead of blockchain technology being used to kind of like, oh, I don't know, like do the whole Bitcoin thing or crypto thing, which is kind of akin to speculation, instead of it being about accumulating like wealth, we could use blockchain technology for encrypted voting that is safe and that is verified as from one person and not it can't be hacked and will not and cannot be changed, but everyone can see it on the open ledger, and then but it's anonymous, so your voting record as a person is protected, but the actual votes can actually be seen by everyone, and that's also helps election integrity and lack of election fraud and lack of using like private you know, voting machines from private companies and all that stuff that we have. So we can actually, we do have the technology to implement direct democracy. Anyway.
So I have a question related to that. And we're Jonah's got his hand up. Sue wants to talk. We're going to run out of time again. I'm going to send out another message. Let's try to think of some particular issue in the Green Party where direct democracy could be experimented with. Sue, then Jonah.
Let me just say, my career for 37 years was data processing systems, first writing them and then designing them, and the last 17 years was at Citibank. So I have a very intimate knowledge of computer systems, that kind of technology. It is not controlled by the people. You might say, you know, you hear blockchain, oh wow, you know, we could do whatever we want. There are people sitting down, computer programmers who are writing the programs, the blockchain programs. There are people above them who are telling them what specifications should be put into those programs. The people above them generally do not have our goodwill, the democratic goodwill. It's just the nature. That's number one. Number two, today we're ruled by this technology. We're ruled by it. We don't have any privacy. It's all harvested. We're being harvested for all of our biological, behavioral activities. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of that, Sarah, but that it's a major issue out there.
I do understand, but I think blockchain technology as it was originally written or as it's originally done through, like what Bitcoin is done through, is it's actually open ledger. So, like you say, someone at the top would command the code writing, but this wouldn't be the case. Like, whatever code was written would have to be viewed for the public, so things would have to be open source. And so, all cryptocurrencies are actually that way, is that people can look at all the codes, the other ones. So, that's how you would start. And again, like, a lot of these, again, like it can have the form of general citizens contributing to that code source. And the thing about the blockchain technology that is done through the Bitcoin way is that it cannot be harvested because there's no central gathering. Like it's an open ledger that is like mobile, so to speak. So it is viewed on the open. So given that it's viewed on the open, the transaction anyway, I don't think that really relates, because you're not going to have, you say that people are harvesting people's individual data. That's true. That's the big companies harvesting our individual data, like the person, like they can identify us through our phone and through our computers and stuff. But I think this kind of technology for voting purposes on legislation directly, let's say, I think that would be different, because there's no other personal information that would be used in that. It would just be your vote. So you'd have the code. And so anyway, that's how I see it. But go ahead.
Sarah, thank you. I'm not sure we're a little off topic or not. We have 5.5 minutes before we have to check in all over again. Jonah had his hand up.
Yes, I want to suggest that on this particular kind of question, perhaps we should look into giving up the secret ballot. If your vote is not secret, then all of our issues about election integrity and is your vote really being changed behind you when you don't notice, all of those go away.
Yeah, we're really off topic now.
Yes. Another thing I want to consider too is maybe we should give people the choice of secret ballot or not. Because if there are people that you who could hurt you if you vote wrong, then you should be able to vote secretly. And I think maybe the people who vote secretly deserve 3/5 of a vote for historical reasons.
Okay. So it says we've got 4 minutes left. I was hoping we would. Jonah and Steve had a conversation going in the email about the Swedes, and then Jonah said some things that I thought, oh man, I don't quite get that. So I don't know if we want to put that on our agenda for when we go into our third meeting of the evening. We got 4 minutes, though. People want to say something right now about this or about what else we want to cover before we say goodnight tonight.
Well, that I kind of forget that article. I referred to an article was about what was it? Green capitalism, right? The failures of green capitalism.
Oh, that it can't fix climate.
Yes, and then so I said, but the article is from a socialist website, but they don't give any socialist solution. What would that be? And of course, they don't mention monetary reform. So, to my socialist friend who sent me that, I'm sending that same question to him. Okay, what do you socialists got to put on the table? So, you know, that's the question.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't read Jonah. I saw Jonah's, but I haven't had time to read it.
Cool.
Well.
Very good. So, does anyone else want to address Sarah's remarks or suggest a new topic for when we get into our next segment?
I have questions about the ism called socialism.
The what?
I have questions about the ism, ISM, called socialism.
Yeah. Oh boy, we're gonna stay all night?
I don't know, just questions, they're just questions.
You have specific questions?
Yeah.
Well, hit us with one of those.
Okay, in a socialist nation, who has, is there a constitution? That's one of them.
Steve Stack.
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think this is an extremely nebulous subject because, Sue, you must have some idea what you think socialism is. There's hundreds of socialism. Hundred.
It's not one thing, is it?
No, it's not one thing. So you can find a particular socialism that might suit you and not somebody. For example, the big division is between authoritarian socialism and libertarian socialism or anarchism. I mean, the authoritarian socialists want to have the vanguard party, you know, the elite group at the top that runs everything. The anarchist socialists say, we don't want any state telling us what to do. We don't want any authoritarian vanguard party. It's all the people. We want direct democracy, you know? So, and within the anarchist movement, there's hundreds of different kinds of anarchists. So, I mean, it's almost an impossible question to answer, you know? I mean, if you're thinking of whatever the Russians had, that wasn't even socialism by any socialist standards. It was, you know, state authoritarian capitalism. So, we don't even know what you think you mean by socialism before we can even answer that question.
No, it's not what I think. It's what I hear the word being spoken, and I have questions that would, like I just asked.
You have to ask the person who speaks the word.
Yeah, so that's the thing. People are throwing that word around. It means something different to everybody who hears it or says it, and so how do you have a conversation about that? I try to avoid it the most I can. Kind of unhelpful.
Yeah, but it's in our vernacular. It comes up here in our meetings.
Well, if you take the Swedish, the Nordic countries, they're considered somewhat socialist, you know, maybe